God, just step into that trust. You can do this.
Amen.
Thank you, ladies.
You've already touched me, so.
God is good. I'm in such a great time in my life, you know, and I kept saying, God, it's going to be hard to talk about grief when I'm so happy right now. He'll move in us. So, as Jesus chose to influence all those people that came asking him, I believe that's what God's want me to say to you. That, you know, in a lot of ways, if he has allowed you to go through any certain circumstance that would rip your heart wide open, he's trusting you. He's trusting you with his glory. Will your testimony glorify him? Will how you handle this be an influence to those around you? Will you allow other people to see yourself cry? Will you allow other people to, you know, help you? I had a really hard time. Obviously, the affirmation that God's using you, this is my battle. And I challenge you to fight it as well. It's a woman thing. We don't want to let ourselves deal with the hurt. We don't want to, you know, allow ourselves the help that we need. You know, 6 weeks after Rebecca died, I broke my back. Sounds like, oh no, another situation. Are you kidding me? Yep. And you know what I think when I look back at that time? I was flat out and I needed help. I couldn't do my own laundry. I had meals coming all the time. I had meals before the pregnancy, during the test, and after the death, and then through the back. And then I had a gallbladder surgery emergency. And it was like, I am so tired of being the center of attention. I am so tired of being the one in need. But when I look back at that, God was ministering to me. I was being stubborn about taking the time to grieve. I was being stubborn about allowing myself to hurt. I wanted to be strong for the youth group. I wanted to be strong for all the people. I remember! We had decided, this was like the first like public speaking for me, really. We had decided that we wanted to get up in front of the whole congregation and tell them, this was before Rebecca had been born yet, but we wanted to tell them what was going on, and we wanted to encourage them that we're believing God. And we're not necessarily believing for a miracle because, I mean, a miracle, yes, but not a healing, because Rebecca had trisomy 18. That means every single cell in her body was wrong. She had three chromosome 18s that gave her five major heart defects, crippled hands, twisted hips, rocker feet, all sorts of problems. Usually a cleft palate, thank God she didn't have that. She had all sorts of things. And we just wanted to believe that God would use us, you know, that he would carry us through, that he would give us some time, because see, 95% of them are stillborn, and of the 5% that live, they usually live 5 days. Rebecca lived 3 weeks, and we had to take care of her completely ourselves. We saw a whole bunch of miracles. We were going to tube feed her, and we ended up having this miraculous tool that no one, even the specialist in Boston, had never seen before. And a nurse came in saying, look what I was given last night at a conference, so they're introducing it. You know, God just did so many things. There's tons of stories in the book. But anyway, when we stood up there in front of everybody, we just had so many people come up to us, and from then on after, oh, you're just amazing, you're handling this so well. And I can remember crying to God 100 times, Lord, why do they think I'm handling this so well? I'm not handling this at all. And it was almost more frustrating. It was like, no, I'm not, help me, please. But he spoke to me one of those times of questioning him. And he said, girl, they think you're a leader. I need a leader. Would you just be it for me? And it was a challenge. And I felt honored that he would trust me to handle this well. They all thought I was handling it well. I guess I'm doing something right on the outside. So at her funeral, we played The Warrior as a Child. You ever heard The Warrior as a Child? That's the thing I want to speak to you today. You be a warrior for everybody. You give them what they need. You be compassionate. But you know what? Don't you put aside your feelings. Remember what Alicia said last night? When there's a wound, all the resources go to that wound, only for the time that it's needed. And with grief, it comes up again and again. But use, you know, your resources, allow yourself to heal. But don't forget to be that testimony, to be that influence. Because you see, if I hadn't gone through the things that I've been through, I'd still be judging everybody that's been divorced. I'd still be like unable to cry for somebody else. I never cried over anything before my loss. I just always had the attitude of, it wasn't like I didn't care. It was just always, it's going to work out, it's going to work out. I just had a lot of faith. And I didn't have a lot of compassion. I didn't understand how deeply people can hurt. I can remember when I was going through my divorce, like sitting in church and like massaging my chin, because I realized my face was stuck in a frown. And I used to be like, why can't that woman have a better attitude? You know, I was always so judgmental over people being grouchy, and I couldn't control my feelings. They were just so strong. And so now I have a little more compassion when somebody's grouchy. So God uses these things. I want to refer to Job. I mean, I told you a little bit about some major things that all happened within 9 months. My business partner also died of lung cancer within those 9 months. We were told many times, it's like your Job. 1999 was like your year of Job. So many things. And I love the story of Job. And I encourage you to study it. But I just want to point out one thing about Job. You know that he went through loss of all his resource, all his wealth was burned up. And he had nothing left. His children, all of them, were killed. He had nobody left, nothing left except his wife. And his wife turned on him, basically, and told him, curse God and die. His friends came to help him and said, you must have sinned. There must be something wrong. But we also know that the truth is the enemy came to God and said, I'm watching Job. He's only such an awesome, holy person because you've been so good to him. Watch, I'll take this, and I'll take that, you know the story. God, the enemy has to go before God to ask permission to attack you. Think about that for a moment. What you've been through, your enemy, if it came from the enemy, now I know some things come from other people's choices, which is usually the enemy working in them, but there's also things that happen because of our own choices. But what the enemy intends for evil, God can turn for the good.
Yes.
But think about this. I mean, I just picture Satan going before my Father in heaven saying, can I take her daughter? You know? And God's going, she's going to use it. She's going to throw a memorial banquet in memory of that little girl for 13. This will be our 14th year in February. And people are going to come that don't even know Rebecca, don't even know Ron and Katrina. They're going to come, and they're going to just come because it's a Valentine's banquet. And money's going to be raised, and it's going to help little kids go to a Christian school. And you know what? People are going to go to that banquet, and she's going to hand out this little tiny story every year. One little story about Rebecca's life and what I taught her through all that. And you know what? There'll be Christians and there'll be non-Christians that hear just a little glimpse of what God has done through terrible things. And yeah, I'll help her through that. Go for it. I can just see it. And it, to me, when I think about it, is like, really, God? You trust me? He's thinking that about you. What you've been through, he believes in you. You will get through, and you will use it for his glory. And he's going to be like, thank you, daughter. You rock. But at the same time, like we keep saying, we've got to allow ourselves that time. We've got to say like Jesus did, I need to get away for a minute. I need to go deal with this. I just need to talk to my daddy. We can't forget that. Because if we try to do it in our own strength, our testimony is not going to be great. When we look at Job, the very end, in chapter 42, in verse 10, it says that the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He had 700 sheep. God gave him 1,400. He had 3,000 camels. God gave him 6,000 camels. He had 500 oxen and 500 donkeys, and God gave him 1,000 of each. God wants to double your loss. He wants to bless you for glorifying him. I love the part that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and God gave him 7 sons.